This morning I'm excited to announce this couple that's going to share this word this morning with us. Before I do that, I'm just going to call my beautiful wife up with me. I want you to introduce me to them with me. So, because, yeah, they've meant a lot to myself and Caroline over as well. Really ministered into our marriage, ministered into our lives. In fact, they've been ministering into my life since 2007, the year Brad was born, a few months before that, when I was in the rehab. Gunther and Karen, and yeah, Major Wright, yeah, amazing to have them with us. They've seen me at the worst, and they see God do something amazing. Yeah, and the Lord's amazing, and my cousins, that's always also here, who's walked this journey with me. Yeah, so thank you. But Gunther and Karen this morning are going to share about the importance of marriage, and I'm excited to receive from them because they don't only speak it, they live it. They live what they share, and they've been, myself and Carolyn's, Gunther's my personal mentor since way back when. Him and Karen has became me and Carolyn's mentors. We met with them at least every second month, try to, with our busy schedules. But we make a date, although we go for a double date or something, just to share. And yeah, we feel God has called us to lead this church, but he's also called us to look after this first and foremost. And yesterday we had a really special time together where we were in Somerset West, and it was with my with Carolyn's parents. We left the kids with them, and we just went out. Well, she went somewhere for the morning, and I just joined, tagged along. Like I said, I was reading. And after that, we just did something spontaneous. We just went and did something for us. And then we just spoke about our marriage and spoke what we're grateful for. But, yeah, and God's called me to lead this church because I could look after this beautiful lady and our household. And I should never forget that. So, yeah, I'm going to give Karen a chance just to introduce the couple that we'll be sharing now.
Gunther and Karen, thank you for coming to join us this morning. It's always a blessing having you with us. Thank you for your willingness to come and share and come and sow into this house. You've really been an example to us, your marriage, just your story, and we're excited to hear what you have to share with us as a church family this morning. Just thank you for the blessing that you've been to us as a couple and as a family. And I always end up telling the story of how Bradley and I started dating, and it was one thing meeting his actual parents, but it was a lot more scary being flown up to Durban to go and meet these two spiritual parents. It was, and then live in their house for a few days and really feel it was like the assessment, you know, am I worthy to be the wifey for Bradley? Thankfully I passed that with flying colors. But thank you for the role you've played in Bradley's life and in both of our lives, and we just welcome you, and we may you feel at home here, because you really are. And thank you for you guys, your hearts are beautiful. Father, thank you for Gunther and Karen. Thank you that we can receive them this morning with open arms and open hearts, Lord. And just pray a special blessing over them, Lord. You have brought the two of them together. You have united them. You have made them one. Thank you for the covenant that they have, the covenant they have with each other, the covenant that they have with you, Lord, that is a firm and solid foundation. Thank you that they can share out of that place this morning of knowing where they stand and on whom they stand, the rock and firm foundation that cannot be shaken, Lord. I pray that even as they share and encourage us this morning, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will just share with them and encourage them, strengthen them, remind them of these truths of covenant and marriage. And I pray that they will be blessed and that they will leave here as well with hearts filled as they pour out of themselves and to bless us, Lord. We just welcome them. We open our hearts to hear and to receive what you have to say through them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, family. It's good to be here with such a faithful community. You know, we stepped in here quite early. You guys were still practicing and the atmosphere was charged with faith, and I felt such an expectancy in my heart just to come in knowing that there's already so much happening. You know, people sometimes come to a Sunday gathering and want to receive, want to do things, but it's clear that worship is happening during the week, prayer is happening during the week, and there's community happening during the week. And that's why when we come together, wow, it's quite loud, thank you. When we come together, there is such an explosion of just faith, and we can feel it in the atmosphere. And so I want to just say thank you, Brett and Carolyn, just for your hearts, just for being real, you know, being so committed to the Lord, to the church, to family. And yes, we met back in 2007. That's right, 2007. It was the same year that I met Karen, my wife. So it was, yeah, it's quite a journey. It's quite a journey. If we had like 5 hours, we can tell you all about that. But we don't have 5 hours. So yeah, just so thank you. So thankful for just your heart, you know, for the Lord, for his house. And it's a privilege to have known you for so many years. And just want to cheer you on, Bradley. Thank you just for loving the Lord, loving his house, loving family, and being authentic. You know, we meet a lot of pastors and leaders, and it's all about the pulpit ministry, but nothing's happening during the week. And I can say that there's lots happening during the week, and you make time for family. So I want to honor you for that. So, Karen, you want to share something? Not at the moment? All right. Well, so we're married. So we're married, yeah. Just to let you know that, yeah, we just celebrated 12 years in October, 12 years, and you guys are now going on to 6, right, next month. So, and it was such a privilege for us to be invited to your wedding in 2018, yeah. So, Karen was pregnant at the time, first trimester, lots of different mood swings. She tried to hide that as well. But yeah, so just our story a little bit so you guys can know just who we are. So we both pastors' kids, grew up in the church. In fact, Karen's parents are at the back there, her mom and dad. Also served the Lord for many years, pastoring churches all over South Africa. And so I grew up as a PK as well. And then you get labeled as a PK, sometimes doesn't sit well. But I had to have those encounters with the Lord, my Heavenly Father, knowing that this thing that we carry is real. It's not just because of so-and-so preaching it on a Sunday. It's very real. And so yeah, we actually met in 2007 at a rehab center where we both worked. And my in-laws, not in-laws, my in-laws, they were the managers of the center. And so obviously, if you work at a rehab center, there's got to be some passion for the work you do. Working with broken people, working with addicts. And so I met Karen, and we both spoke about ministry to the brokenhearted. And what does that look like? And that really set us apart. You know, we felt like we are called to bring this message of hope and healing to families and to communities. And so this morning, we're very passionate about this because we can see the brokenness out there. The enemy is working overtime to attack families, if you've noticed. And so we're saying, enough of that. We're taking a stand for godly families. Amen. And so really our passion for that started back then, celebrating values. And yeah, Karen's going to share more about what happened since 2007.
Well, actually before, backtrack. Can you just go to the next slide? Mm-hmm. So our story, so that's Hesketh King. That's where we met Bradley, where we met each other. We were both raised, like Gunther said, both raised as pastors' kids. My parents are here. And we both lived a very missional life, something we'll go on to talk a little bit more about it, but something that was really special about the way that we were both raised is that we were included in our parents' ministry our whole lives. And it makes a very big difference. And we were raised with very strong values. But unfortunately, on my side, not Gunther, but on my side, I went the way of the statistic with pastors' kids. So I stepped a little bit off the path, a little way off the path. and I went through a few years of doing drugs and drinking very heavily. I was in a very abusive relationship. And for 4 years, I said for the last 2 years of that relationship, he would hit me almost daily for fun. So I was raised in this beautiful family with this amazing just foundation of what family's supposed to be. And even then, I didn't know my identity as a child. And I knew it in my biological family, but I didn't know it in my heavenly family. And I walked away. So, so that's a little bit about me and my story. Eventually, I came back, and then I met Gunther at a rehab, which was very ironic. And my parents were running the rehab, which is even more ironic. And then our journey really started.
But it's amazing how God can turn all things around. He works all things together for our good. So God uses Karen's story to impact lives, and she's having a lot of sessions with women going through abuse, being abused, because that's something very deeply rooted, the trauma and the pain that women go through. And so don't despise those days where you feel like, where is God? You know, when God steps in, when the anointing steps in, God can turn things around. It's a testimony that's being set up for you. And so, yeah, so definitely we share this passion for families. We want kingdom to come. We always pray, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want kingdom to manifest in families, because this is a representation of the gospel. The gospel being demonstrated through family and through marriage. And so, want to speak about love?
Yeah, I can speak a little bit about love. So, when was it? 2006. When we went to live. 2016. In 2016, God told us to leave our jobs and leave everything and go to KZN to go work and minister and live at a place called Live Village. And it's a village for orphaned and vulnerable children. So we had about 200 children, 36 moms, looking after the children. That's where I met Carolyn for the first time when Bradley brought her to meet the parents. But it was such an amazing thing to live at this village. And I don't know if you guys do the song Tando, Come Holy Spirit. So that was actually recorded at Live Village. And what was the most amazing thing, so that song was written with Worship Awake. I mean, We Will Worship. And it was written at the village. And that line that says, he's calling the orphans home. And to watch, when they did the recording, to watch these 200 orphans just singing that with gusto. It's something so beautiful. So yes, we're here today to talk about marriage and family, but family isn't just a nuclear family. This is family. This is our church family. And God is our Heavenly Father. I loved that song that we sang earlier, The Welcome Home. Love that, just, you know, he's calling us all to his table. He's calling us home. He's calling us as his children. And thank you, Bradley, for the altar call, because I was also feeling, yo, we need to, like, just bring this home. Yeah. It's not about our earthly fathers, although in our case, our earthly fathers are amazing, but it's about the Father, and that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. And as we know, once we encounter the Father's heart, his Father's, his love for us, fear is gone. Because perfect love drives out fear, and we can see how his love can impact the orphan heart. And we've seen, obviously, orphans on the village, but sadly also orphan-hearted in the church. And so we know God has got something special for all of us, you know. And we're going to talk about marriage and family, but whatever the Spirit of God wants to speak through us and to you, just be open to receive. And I always say, receive the word in the word. There's a word in the word for you. Amen. So this scripture, we're very passionate about this. It sets us really on our course, what we do. We present about 4 marriage seminars per year. We just had the last one this Monday. And like I said, it's a big need out there, because the enemy is targeting Christian families. So we've seen too many marriages being broken and families being destroyed because of what the enemy is doing. But the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, the command was given through Moses, saying to the children of Israel, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." So it's clear it's happening all the time, not just on a Sunday morning or in a Wednesday life group or during a devotions. It's happening all the time. And we can honestly say we're so privileged that we've had that demonstrated to us growing up as children. Before school, my mom would read a little scripture, and they would encourage me to face my day. And as a teenage boy especially, we face a lot of things. And many teenagers, children are facing a lot. And thank you for standing last week for Stand Sunday, praying for the orphan and vulnerable, but for children. The enemy is attacking children, but God wants to restore. Amen? And he's using the covenant of marriage to demonstrate kingdom. And so this scripture speaks of that. It speaks of parents taking that role and taking that stand for kingdom. Amen. We thank God for the pastors and for the teachers and for, you know, different coaches out there. But if a mom and a dad can teach and talk to their children about the word in the morning, when they walk to school, when they lie down at night, all the time, it imprints the truth in their hearts. This is not just religion for a Sunday. This is lifestyle. Amen? And it's real.
Sorry, I'm interrupting. But when we walked in here this morning, our little five-year-old who's now asleep, thank you, Jesus. What did he say to you, Mom? He quoted, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is here." From a five-year-old. And that's simply because the word is spoken in our house from morning till night. No, we're not perfect. Most definitely not. And we fight and we shout at him, but we speak the word. Yeah. And when there is conflict, we resolve it. But we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Love my boy. He's special. So, and because of what we've received, we can now talk about the generational blessing. And obviously, we hear a lot about curses, right? Generational curses. Grandfather struggled with addiction, the sons are as well. Or there's been trauma in family. Now, and we work on the farms as well, in farming communities. And we can see the cycle of addiction, pain, and trauma impacting families because of what happened 100 years ago. And so it's a cycle, and God is calling the church to break those cycles. Amen? Amen. So we're talking about from curse to blessing. So let's look at that scripture, Psalms 100 verse 5. "For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." And God is the God of generations, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And so we've seen that in our family, and my son, you know, he is where he is today because of my grandfather taking a stand and my father taking a stand. And so the choices we make today impact you, but also your children and your children's children. And that's the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord empowers and is generational.
So, yeah, we were raised very differently. Even though we're both pastor's kids, my parents were adventurous, so we were raised very outdoorsy, and we any excuse to be out on the water or climbing mountains or camping, you know, no electricity was perfect, and that was us. Yeah, so we absolutely love being outdoors, whereas Gunther wasn't. But what connected us was the foundation of love and the foundation of love of God.
Yeah. And so I can just say that the picture there on the right, by the way, that's her mom and dad, left corner on the canoe, being very adventurous, and my brothers there at the bottom. And my mom and dad on the right, that was my mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary. About 2 years ago, and my dad gave my mom another ring in their 70s. And for me, it was such a beautiful picture to see my dad doing that, still being so committed after 50 years of being married to the same woman. Now, I know, and we know, it's not everybody's story, but that's okay. God restores, and He makes all things new. And Braille, you share that about the Father's blessing and the Father heart. You know, God shifts things around. And so, grab a hold of the truth. Grab a hold of the divine blessing. Grab a hold of God's kingdom, because His kingdom is going to shift things in our communities. But we know we're going upstream. We're going upstream. There's such pressure on us to conform. If we're just on the TV, we know there's people shouting at us to do things the worldly way. So there's God's way or there's the kingdom way. There's one scripture that I want to share. Psalms 145, verse 4. You guys probably know this one. One generation shall praise your works to another. One generation shall praise God's works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So we praise and we worship. We shout from the rooftops. I'm glad we're quite high this morning. And I can just sense when I walked in here, God's going to spread so much love to this community. And that's the reason why you guys are up high, the upper room, and it changes the atmosphere. You know, when we praise and we worship, when we speak God's word, we declare truth and victory. And so, yeah, so just understanding the difference between the world system and God's system. The worldly way and the kingdom way. There's a difference. And so, you know, we talk here about, is it lust or is it love? Is it contract or covenant? Big difference. Is it self-image? Is it all about you or is it Jesus' image? And so we're always going to be in this place where we have to make decisions. Are we going to do it God's way or man's way, the world's way? It's easier to go with the flow. If you look at fish, how do fish swim? They go mostly downstream, right? But if you go upstream, you face resistance. And I feel like the church is facing tremendous resistance, and the pressure is there to conform to this world. What is family? What is marriage?
Yeah, again, I'm looking at that picture again that I used on the slide. That moment was pivotal for us. So that was Gunther's 40th birthday 4 years ago. But we were happily living and working at the village, and we felt the stirring to come back to the Cape, and God was like, you need to do it. And we were like, but Lord, we've been living as missionaries for 5 years. We have no savings. Moving from Durban to Cape Town is really expensive. Living in Cape Town is really expensive. We don't have a house to go to. We don't have work to go to. What are we going to do? And it was just after lockdown, we came to Cape Town to come visit our parents. And for Gunther's birthday, we went up Table Mountain and had this crazy special on this Abseil experience. It was post-COVID, so they were trying to get people back. And it was 450 Rand for two people to go do the Abseiling. I think it's more than that for one person normally. And so I'm the adventurer. I was like, I'm going. I don't know who's coming with me, but I'm going. So I booked it, and I was standing there, and my sister said she might come, and then she chickened out when she saw just how far the drop was. And Gunther was like, it's my birthday. I'll do it. But as we leaned back and kind of started to rappel, and then you get to a point where it's a sheer drop. So normally when you abseil, you're kicking off the wall. And then there was a part where there was no more wall. And it was about a 50-meter just sheer nothingness. And it was lovely for me. I think a little bit terrifying for poor Gunther. But in that moment, we both had this epiphany that we realized when we got down to the bottom and started hiking back up the mountain, is that this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to just jump and just rely on him to catch us. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about the world's way versus God's way, because the world would say to us, you don't have an income, you don't have a house, you don't have savings, it's impossible. And it wasn't. As soon as we took that first step, God provided and provided and provided and provided. And every step we took with him.
Hey man, thanks for sharing that. I look a bit nervous there. Karen is like, yeah, let's do it again. She did skydiving, by the way, about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I didn't go with. So I was on the ground, boots on the ground, rooted and grounded in truth. And it's fun living for Christ, amen? It's an adventure, and so should marriage be. We are in covenant here. We can talk about things. We can make mistakes together. We have highs and lows. We go through the valleys, the ups and the downs, but we learn from each other, and we grow. And so I just want to talk about building wisely. We need to build on the solid foundation, and Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom, building on the right foundations. And again, we can conform to the worldly way, the world image. If you switch on Netflix, how people live lives and relationships, it's clear which way they are going. It's contrary to the worldly way, God's way. And this must be the standard. You know, growing up earlier, like in the 90s, this was still spoken about a lot in schools. It was still held very high. But these days, you have to find really, you have to look hard for a school and people that are very bold to talk about God's ways. Even when it comes to raising children, in the midst of gender confusion and all of that. And so, but contract, if you look at contract versus covenant, contract is a legal agreement with an earthly focus based on the laws of the country or the institution. You know, so there's a clear definition and there are rules. But when you don't like it or you get tired, what happens? I'm out of here. No, thank you. It's tough. I don't want it. Let's bail. When things don't work out, yes, your ring. Cheers. But covenant is a deeper commitment. And it's agreement with a strong divine connection. And that's when God steps in. And God brings the seal between husband and wife. He brings the seal bringing families together. And although there were brokenness, when God steps in the scene, the ministry of reconciliation takes place. And that's the gospel. That's why Jesus came. He came to reconcile us back to the Father. And marriage is a reflection. We're going to talk about that now. Marriage is a reflection of Christ. God is the glue that puts a marriage and it keeps a marriage together and family and communities. Okay, so we are called to fight the good fight of faith. We shouldn't quit fighting the good fight of faith. It gets tough. That's why many people quit, but keep on running the race. So reflecting Christ in your marriage, what is that? Let's look at some scriptures. Paul is very clear about, you know, the role of the husband and the role of the wife. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Again, it's a representation and a picture of Christ as the head, you know, and us submitting to Christ, to his lordship. And then, husbands, you're not going to run away here. Chapter 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That sacrifice, amen? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word.
Sorry, I'm interjecting again. But for me, that scripture is so powerful about the husband washing the wife with word. Because for me, coming from a place of abuse, and I didn't trust men, and I was petrified. If I looked, I mean, Gunter and I met in 2007, we only got married in 2012. because it took me that long to process my pain. And all he did, he was so patient, he was so kind, he was so loving. Because if I sniffed at a bit of control, I would back away. Or if I sniffed, oh, he's a little bit angry about this, even if he didn't say anything, I would cower. And so he just continually washed me with the word. I had such a low self-esteem. I said, I couldn't even tell you what my favorite color was. I couldn't tell you what type of music I liked. Because all this had been dictated to me. And he just built me up. He showed me who I was.
What a privilege. Love is patient. So, and you reap the reward if you're patient and endure. But Karen had to receive that love from me. I had to wash it with the word. And I had to be consistent at it. If I don't see change, I had to be consistent. Still speak life. Speak the truth. Although the lies of the devil, because of the abuse, was holding on to her, wanting to break her down, I had to speak the truth. Because God's word is the sword. Amen. And so let's use God's word in our marriages. Let's use God's word in our families. So I just want to say this. Your marriage is a mirror reflecting the union of Christ and the bride. And so that's why the enemy is going after marriages. Because if he can break that, then he can have a foothold. Because he wants to gain ground. Amen. He wants to get into our schools, into our communities. But the church also needs to gain ground. And this church is gaining ground. Amen. Here in Boston. And we're doing it through speaking the truth, speaking life, one day at a time, all the time, consistently, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, all the time. Don't quit. And so I just want to say this, the greatest privilege in marriage is reflecting our Savior. That's the greatest privilege. It's adventurous, it's fun, it can be not so fun, but we are conforming to the image of Christ. My father-in-law in love is still sitting there next to his wife. He's been at it for how many years now? 47 years, still standing. And so, and I know he's a man of prayer, and I know he speaks the word. When I see him in the morning, we're staying over at that place now, 3:30, he's praying. The Bible open, speaking life over his family. And so, I want to encourage you with that. So, Karen? No, it's me, okay. Building the foundations for a strong marriage and a healthy family. What are those foundations? Okay, make time for each other. So we talk about, especially this time of the year, we talk about next year, especially in companies and organizations, looking at the calendar for 2025. We also now sitting with our calendar for next year. Because if you don't plan for something, you're setting yourself up for failure. And the enemy loves to step in and he wants to bring distractions. Oh, you guys are not really committed here, so how about doing this or how about doing that? He wants to steal time. And so we felt in our marriage it's important to make time for each other. So, yeah, quality time. And you need to understand that if you don't do that, you're going to be on the back foot.
Yeah, and I think it's true in your church family as well. It's true with your kids. It's true with your friends. If you don't make time for each other, the friendship will fizzle. If you don't make time to coffee dates, I'm like huge on let's do coffee cup counseling. You know, let's go drink a coffee together, but we try and make it regular. So we say for a healthy family, you should aim or plan to spend between 1 and 2 hours with the person a week. And it sounds very little, but if you think about how much quality time you actually spend with your loved ones or your close friends, then 1 to 2 hours a week, especially if you're a busy parent. So I say for kids, milkshake moments, time that you actually set aside to date your kids. It sounds weird, but it's so important that as parents, you make time for your kids. It's important as church family that you make time for each other.
Yes, yes, yes. There's agreement in the house from the mouth of babes, eh? And infants. an example, we had a very busy week this last week. Meetings from early morning to late in the evening, driving back and forth. Came home late. I was hungry. And when a man is hungry, the man wants to eat. And but dinner was prepared for me, thank the Lord. But my son now wanted to play desperately with his daddy. He wanted connecting time. You know, Legos were out. And I was thinking, now is not the best time. I'm tired. I got an early morning the next day. But I just felt like, you know, I need to practice what I preach. We talk to families about this all the time. And I felt to make a commitment, even if it's 5 minutes, to have that moment with him. Because for him, it's important to connect with his dad before bedtime. So now we do it, whether it's Lego or what do we watch now? Bible Man. Bible Man, go watch it, Dad, with your kids. A super book, great Bible stories. Go to bed with the Word. And so make time, but be aware that the enemy wants to break the rhythm. So have healthy rhythms. It's important for you to lead it, especially as husbands. Lead that space. Amen. And nurture. Nurture each other. We study each other. I've known her for, well, married for 12 years. Together for 17 years. And I still get to know Karen. You know, it takes a lifetime to know your partner. And that's why many people quit, because it's hard work. And but God has called us not to quit. We're not quitters. Amen. We run to the end, to the finish line. Amen.
Yeah, so I'm just going to give you some practical stuff that barriers to communication. So a lot of us have stuff, our own stuff, our own hurt or whatever, and that stops us from talking. And for us, the biggest part of relationship, the biggest part of marriage, the biggest part of parenting is good communication. So on the slide, I won't read them all, but it's stuff that will prevent me from talking to Gunther. And then what will happen is Gunther will maybe leave the cap off the toothpaste or push the toothpaste from the from the top instead of from the bottom. and then, see, ladies, you understand. It's a thing. But then 2-3 weeks worth of pent up stuff will come out over a toothpaste cap. Yeah. And the reason that I'm not talking about the stuff during the week is this. I don't want to bother him. He won't be interested. For me, I might sound weak. And for me, I'm all about I'm strong and I'm able and I'm capable. And, you know, so I don't want to sound weak. And for guys, that might be a thing for you. Or he might not understand me. And those are barriers. So the important thing is to find out, what are your barriers? What's blocking your communication with your brother, your sister, your even in church? I mean, we see so many people leave church offended, and that's supposed to be their spiritual family. But why are you offended? You're offended because you don't talk to each other. And there's nothing wrong with saying, my sister, when you did this, it made me feel like this. It's not a diss on her. It's not, you know, I'm not shaming her. I'm sharing my feelings. And it's about, come guys, let's mature, let's level up. And it's I always say the 101, communication 101. When you, it makes me feel. So then you're not saying you never listen. You never do this. You say when you leave your clothes lying around the house, it makes me feel like I always have to clean up. You know, so sharing your feelings in a healthy way. I'm going to just run through the next one quickly. So tips on how to communicate. Pay attention. Don't interrupt. So if someone's talking to you, and I'm terrible at this because my brain works at 100 kilometers an hour, and I'm always wanting to, I'm like, just get to the point. So then I'll interrupt. So pay attention, don't interrupt. Try to put yourself in their shoes. And men, just listen and just say, how can I help with it? Because the worst thing for a woman is your spouse or trying to fix it. Don't try and fix it. We just want to talk. So listen, acknowledge their feelings, find out what's important, and what you can do to help them. So that's just something there quickly. But we know in all relationships, times get tough. So I'm going to try to do this without crying. Not look at mom. So last year, January, I had a miscarriage. And we tried, before Nathan, we tried for 7 years. And doctor said, not going to happen, can't happen, won't happen. So we happily went along, and we eventually got to the point where we were okay with it. We took in, we did safety care for kids, and we had a total of 15 kids come through our home. And we were okay. We were like, we would like it, but... And then our miracle child arrived. And so last year when I found out I was pregnant, the previous year, when I found out I was pregnant, it was, wow, God, you did it again. You did this absolute miracle. And then I lost the baby in January, and it was heart-wrenching. I was angry. I was angry at my father. And I really felt, for a bit, I felt like that child throwing a temper tantrum. I'm like, Daddy, you know how hard this has been. You know the journey. I'm like, and still you allowed this to happen. And you know what I love about God? He's okay with that. He's okay if we yell at him, if we throw a temper tantrum. Bradley, if your child throws a temper tantrum, you're not going to kick them out the house. And God doesn't either. He's a loving daddy that puts his arms around us and he goes, it's okay. And those pictures, so I eventually went to go speak to someone, because it's really hard for me to share how I feel. I can share how I feel on an intellectual level, but it's hard for me to process my emotions. So I went to go see someone, and she told me I need to start doing art. And I said to her, listen, I am completely not artistic. Like, no, it's not going to happen. Long story short, I eventually picked up some pastels, and I started drawing. And those are all my drawings. And I was like, okay, Lord, so out of this pain, out of the brokenness, out of the hurt, out of the despair, out of the anger, because I was angry, I started drawing. And all of this started coming out. And I don't know if you can see a kind of a theme in those pictures. You know, God speaks to me a lot through nature, and he just reinforced, you're my child, I love you, come away with me. That John 16:33 verse, I've told you, in this world, you know, you will have troubles. Bad stuff will happen, but it's what happens. What do you do with it? How do you process it? And process it together. It's the worst thing is keeping everything to yourself. So the next slide is just my, obviously we do life coaching and stuff. So these are my 5 R's for resilience. Realize, so learn to notice the negative thoughts. So those barriers to communication that I was telling you about, your triggers, your I'm not good enough, I'm an orphan, whatever those thoughts are, realize them. So acknowledge them. Then repent, not for feeling like that, but for partnering with that thought. Because we can feel anger. I mean, God feels anger. We can feel shame. That's fine. But repent for partnering with it. So if something happened to you when you were a child and you have this feeling of, I'm not good enough, and then you grow up and you continually carry that. And when the enemy comes and he sits in your brain and he says, you're not good enough, you go, yeah, no, I'm not good enough. So repent for that. Repent for, I'm sorry, Lord, for partnering with the lie that I'm not good enough. Then release it. I give it to you, Lord. Then find scripture to counteract it. So that I'm not good enough, you then replace with, I'm a child of God. I am loved. He knew me. He formed me before I was born. He knows how many hairs are on my head. He loves me. He carries me. And then when those thoughts come, then you say, uh-uh, enemy, cheers. I am a child of God. I am worth it. So, yeah, just the second to last slide, I think. It's kind of just a recap of planning to succeed, spending time together, finding out what your shared interests are, either in your nuclear family or in your church family. Do you want to share
with that? Yeah, thanks, Karen, for just for being real, because we're human beings. We're not robots. We go through life. We face things, but it's how we go through it. Someone said years ago, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. And what I love about Psalm 23, it's not in here, but I felt to share this. Jesus, the good shepherd, says he leads us beside quiet waters, still waters, where he restores our soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And often in the soul, that's where the trauma sits because of hurt, failures, abandonment, whatever it may be. You fill in the blank. Jesus wants to restore. And to be in a family where restoration takes place, that's the most beautiful thing in the kingdom. Because none of us are perfect. But we have a perfect Savior. And he says, I was anointed to bring healing to the broken. And so in our wounded, in our working through our wounds and our trauma, we can be open and real in family, with family, in a community like this, and say, you know what, I'm hurting here. And we can say, you know what, let's pray together. Let's speak truth. And so we speak on these things because we understand if we don't find the right places to share these things, what's going to happen? The enemy will pull us away to find peace in other areas. Addiction, gaming, TV, whatever it may be. Because we want to be filled. None of us want to be empty. We want to find that comfort. And so make sure that you find your comfort and the peace in all the right places. In the body of Christ, amen? And with time with the Lord. And so I just want to share lastly, that's the last slide, about what to do now. You know, we hear about family. We hear about the kingdom way versus the worldly way. There's always going to be opposition. And we are called not to compromise. I know for us, we need to protect what God is doing here. This right here is because of a decision or decisions that were made decades ago. Our parents and their grandparents made choices that is still affecting us to this day. So we have to protect this. Because if we don't, the enemy will come at this because he knows the ripple effect. Amen? So build boundaries, strong boundaries around your family, around community. Because the threats are out there. I love watching war movies because the enemy is very strategic. Bible says, don't be ignorant of his devices, his schemes. He wants to deceive. He wants to gain territory so that he can come into your household. But we have to be smart. And we have to put on the armor of God and say, not on my watch. Not while I'm standing. You're not doing this thing right here. You're not breaking up my family. You're not breaking up my marriage. Not my church. I'm standing for the truth. So build those boundaries around your community.
Yeah, and I think even with us prepping for today, I think we had a moment, was it yesterday or the day before, when we were sitting and trying to prep, where we just couldn't find each other, you know? And eventually we sat down and we said, listen, we know what this is. Yeah. This is the enemy. We can't settle. We were being distracted by our phones, or we were irritated with each other. But it was the enemy. He didn't want today to happen. He didn't want us to have a message, because he knows he hates marriage and family. Yeah. Because it's powerful in the kingdom.
So, what do? We plead the blood of Jesus. We take covenant meals. We love doing that. We break bread And I think you guys did it last week, having communion. And so we love doing that as a family as well. Yes, do it as a church or in life groups, but also as a family, husband and wife, or just mom and children coming together. Or even if you are a father figure in your community, take those children and say, you know what, I'm going to stand in faith with you for your deliverance and for your breakthrough. Yeah. Because you invite the presence of God in those moments. Speak the blood, speak the truth. And worship, praise and worship is so powerful. It's the voice of victory. It's what we declare in the spirit. The enemy works through the sound waves, as we know. So how about us raising our shout? And we speak truth over our lives, over our communities. So that's what we're talking about, building strong boundaries and know your value system. It's easier for us to say no to certain things because we know our value system. We know what we said yes to. So it's easier to discern distractions when they come. Yeah. It's not if they come, it's when they come. To oppose what you stand for. Amen, Malachi. So we have to stand, and I always say this, be like a watchdog. Ever go into someone's house and it's like, pass up the hunt. Yeah, beware the dog. So if I'm like the watchdog of my family. Pass up. Devil, don't mess around here. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. Yeah. And if we get hit, we get back up. You just heard our story about what Karen shared. It happens. Life happens. But we get back up because we know our foundation. We're building this house of faith because of what we know. It's not someone else's truth. It's our truth. It's not secondhand revelation. It's our revelation. So build strong marriages and communities from conviction. I'll finish with this. I always say, when you're fully convicted or fully persuaded, like Paul always says, I'm fully persuaded, that's when you become unstoppable. No one can stop you. They will try to stop you or to offend you, whether it's at our schools or at the office, to contradict, to cause you to compromise. But if you know you're fully convinced, you're not going to back down. And so, Shofar Boston, don't back down. Keep on standing and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I just want to pray over us. Dear Father, we thank you so much for life and life in abundance, Lord. We know, Jesus Christ, for this reason you came, to destroy the works of the devil. We thank you came to seek and save those who are lost. And Father, we all can say, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I can see. So Father, we thank you for revelation from your word. We pray, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May your word be at the center of our hearts, of our marriages, of our churches. Father, where it's dark out there, where there's confusion, we thank you we can speak Jesus. So we speak Jesus to every broken heart this morning. We speak Jesus to every heart that was traumatized because of abuse or neglect, where an earthly father was absent. Or Father, where marriages didn't work out. Father, life happens to all of us. But we thank you for restoration, that you restore and you build us back up again. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit. So help us, Lord, to build strong families and to build communities of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tips in your just and a reminder of what we as families and as church we're called to do in this world and encouraging us. And even you, thank you for always putting yourself in the fire line because obviously, like you said, you know, the enemy doesn't like it, but we just trust that you, like you said, we plead the blood of God over you and just continue the steady course. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
there's some flowers as well coming.
That's a carrot.
Yeah.
No, it's for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. He actually does, yeah. Wow, what a good message this morning this is. So before we rush off quickly, if you are sitting next to your spouse, and maybe your spouse is not here today as well, with two or three, and all relationships and families, and every family represented here this morning, let's bring that family towards God. Let's bring your marriage towards the Lord. Let's pray together. I'm going to give some time. Adan's going to put some background music up. So let's turn to one another and just pray for our marriages here and our families represented this morning. Okay. Cool. Sam, you're going to... Thank you. Adan's going to put on some background music for us, yeah? So let's turn to one another before we rush off. Let's pray for your family and your marriages this morning.
Thank you.